This is Pastor Ed Rice. On October 18th, I preached a message on the time of Jacob's trouble. And due to technical difficulties, we did not get that recorded. And so I'd like to go ahead and just read a paper I've been working on that deals with that same subject. And again, let's go ahead and look at the time of Jacob's trouble for a few minutes. We are in the midst of our hunt for the last October Bible Prophecy Conference. I already preached a message on 27th of September, the day before Yom Kippur, on Leviticus 23, showing again the seven feasts and how they point to specific events that Christ will completely fulfill. The first four of those have been fulfilled and point to things that Christ did. The last three point to prophecy that has yet to be fulfilled, and that's been the subject of our 23rd annual Bible Prophecy Conference that we call the Hunt for the Last October. On the 4th of October, I preached about the 70th week of Daniel 9:24 and the marvelous things that would be completely fulfilled in those 70 weeks, particularly looking at the 70th week, which the 69 weeks has been fulfilled, and the 70th week looms before us in great biblical prophecy of revelation of Jesus Christ that shows again that 7-year period unfold. And then on 11 October, we preached on the dispensation of grace coming to an end out of Ephesians 1:10 and 3:2. There's two dispensations particularly called out. Paul mentions a dispensation of grace whereby Jews and Gentiles are equal. There's no Jew, there's no Gentile in Christ. We are all one in Christ. There's no male, no female. And that period will end when the dispensation of the fullness of times, which he speaks of, will begin. And so that, again, is unfolding in our study of biblical prophecy. And that dispensation of the end of times, or fullness of times, is going to be included in, or is going to include the time of Jacob's trouble that we're looking at here today. Let's go ahead and look at our text in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7. Bible says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. And then it says in Romans 11, "So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." Romans 11, 26 and 27. Some students of prophecy spend their time trying to figure out what in the world God is doing. God has declared what he is going to do. And the key to understanding biblical prophecy is to know that God says what he means and means what he says. First, know that the promises he made to Israel and to Judah will be fulfilled with jot and tittle accuracy. In Jeremiah 30, the Lord God declares, "For lo, the days are come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 3. Miraculously, after 70 years to the day, Judah came out of the Babylonian captivity and returned to the promised land. They never possessed all the land, but Judah's captivity did end, Ezra chapters 1 through 6. Israel's captivity has not ended. Israel has never been regathered into the promised land. The end of the Babylonian captivity of Judah in B.C. 5:36 was a near-term partial fulfillment of Jeremiah 30:1-9. Biblical prophecy has both a near-term partial fulfillment and a long-term complete and final fulfillment. It may also have one or more foreshadowed partial fulfillments. There has not been a great day, being a time of Jacob's trouble, wherein both Israel and Judah are saved out of it, from verse 7. There will be, and further, they, with both God, they will serve both God and David, their king, whom God will raise up, it says in verse 9, and there is no allegorical hand-waving that can eliminate the specifics of this promised from God. God says what he means, and God means what he says. There is coming an ending to Israel and Judah's captivity, wherein both are regathered into God's promised land, and they shall possess it. 200 years before Judah's Babylonian captivity, 2 Kings 25, and 100 years before Israel's Assyrian captivity, in 2 Kings 17, the prophet Joel hears from God, who says, quote, "For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land." Joel chapter 3, first two verses. The end of captivity, regathering, restitution, and salvation of Israel is thus becoming the mainstay of biblical prophecy. Joel 3 now connected it with the judgment of the nations, and chapter 2 entitles it the Day of the Lord, from Joel 2. Let's go ahead and look at Joel 2. Joel 2, and let me just read for you again the first two verses, and then verse 10 and verse 31. We'll look at another interesting avenue. Joel chapter 2, and verse 1, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people, a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations." It goes down, and in verse 10 it says this, "The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining." Looking again, one more verse down in verse 31, makes another reference to that under the same topic, and it says this, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come." So we're looking here at the day of the Lord as it comes, right from scriptures, and seeing what's described there. And we'll notice here, I just want to hit this darkening of the sun and the moon, and its reference throughout each of these day of the Lord predictions in Bible prophecy. This is highlighted by nothing less than the sun and the moon being dark and also confirmed in Joel chapter 3 and verse 15. That darkened sun and moon is not just a cloudy day or an eclipse. It is a jot and tittle biblical prophecy. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 13 in your Bible. Isaiah 13. And let's go ahead and take up our reading in verses 9 through 11. Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 9 says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil," it says, "and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." Look down in Isaiah to chapter 24. And Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 21, the Bible says this, Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 21, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth." Look at verse 23. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And let's look also again at verse 26 of this great chapter. Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 26 says, "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as light of the 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound." And so, again, there you see an effect on the sun and the moon. And notice this time again in Isaiah chapter 30, that it's very intense, the sun is. And so again, we're seeing all these signs in the sun and moon. Remember what Jesus said also about it. Look with me at Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 29. Jesus said, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." It says the same in Mark 13:24 and Luke 21:25. Such a powerful prophecy had a near-term fulfillment, and again, that shows up even here in Christ at his crucifixion. Look with me at Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 45, the Bible says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You find the same recording, Mark 15, 33 and 34, Luke 23, 44 and 45, that the sun here was darkened. But there is coming a complete and absolute jot and tittle fulfillment of every detail given about the day of the Lord. Its restoration of Israel and its judgment of the nations. The sun and the moon connection with the judgment of nations also comes up when God pronounces judgment on Egypt. Look with me at Ezekiel 32. Ezekiel 32. And let's look at verse 2, first off, to get the context of it. Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say unto him, thou art like a young lion of the nations. It goes down, says again in verse 7, and when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with the cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. All the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. Now, mind you, we're looking at a jot and tittle fulfillment of these Bible verses. And we're not looking at an eclipse. We're not looking at a cloudy day. We are looking for God's hand moving in the sun and the moon and the stars. And we find that thing verily fulfilled in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, again, the time of Jacob's trouble is coming, just as the Bible describes it in its jot and tittle accuracy. The sun and the moon will be darkened, just as the Bible says, and just as it is described in the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the seventh week, called out in Daniel 9:24, we find a seven-year great tribulation period when there are seven seals peeled from the book preparing the world for judgment. Then seven trumpets peal forth the warnings of what is about to unfold. Then the seven vials of the wrath of God are poured out. This frames up the time of Jacob's trouble. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, the Bible says, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, Revelations 8:12. Then, in the close of this period, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, and they repented not to give him glory. Revelation 16, parts of 8 and 9. But as our text declares, both Israel and Judah will be saved out of Jacob's trouble. And they will be regathered, they will be restored, and they will see God's salvation in the promised land. As sure as the sun and moon and prophecies will be fulfilled with jot and tittle accuracy, the promise to Jacob's children will be completely fulfilled. Listen, it is the very hallmark of biblical prophecy. So lots of times we focus on other things, but there's coming a day of the Lord, and this restoration, regathering, and salvation of Israel is the hallmark of biblical prophecy. Lord bless you for listening to this short Bible study.